morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Happy New Year. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday with either Hanukkah or Christmas and the New Year. This is kind of a special show today, a show that I believe is important, and the people here, it's their life. They really believe it's important. And for people who are listening, who are viewing, and may have an issue, pay attention, because there's help. Trust me, there is help. I'm so pleased to have these people. I'm going to have them introduce themselves. Chivalry is not dead. It's just old, fat, and bald. That's me. Kate, we'll let ladies first, please. Tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Kate Frizzell. I'm the clinical director at the Alternative Living Center in Pittsfield and North Adams, Massachusetts. We're a two-pronged program. We do have structured housing for qualifying men only at this point, but we do have an IOP, which stands for Intensive Outpatient Program, which includes 3.5 hours of group therapy and specialized services, individual therapy, and a whole list of other services. That is open to the general public, anyone ages 18 and up that identifies with a substance use issue. So I am a clinician also. I started here as an intern when I kind of started over my own life about 5 years ago. I remain a clinician. I do still have a caseload and meet individually with clients and facilitate groups, but I do oversee all of the clinical operations of the facility.
And folks, if you have a problem, a substance abuse, I don't care what substance, please stay listening to this program. It could literally, and I don't want to be dramatic, it could save your life.
Dramatic.
Yeah, it really could. You're listening to the voices of experience here. So now, Dr. John.
Yeah, I go.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So my name is John Schnauber. I have a doctorate in social work. I also have a master's in social work. I practiced for about 20 years in the local area, jumping from different specialties to different specialty. I'm at ALC now, Alternative Living Center. I'm their clinical supervisor. And I help to kind of focus the team clinically, provide them with some ideas, help them with any questions they might have about patients or clients, and just try to help keep everything moving smoothly.
I thank you for that. You'll find out as you watch this program, these people have a wealth of knowledge that can help you if you need it, or you know someone who needs it. Sometimes it takes a friend. I had a friend, a very good, and still is, but he had an issue, a problem. And it was with alcohol. And we got him some help, and he hasn't probably had a drink now, and I'm going to say at least 20, 25 years. But it was a bunch of us who got him the help through people like this. And now this gang, this guy here, he's good looking. It runs in a family. Under full disclosure, this is Mark McNeese. Mark is my second cousin. His dad was my first cousin. And Mark, people may know Mark from the city. Tell us, Mark, about your journey.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mark McNeese, like Bill said. I'm a certified brain injury specialist. Right now I work at ALC, Alternative Living Centers, and McGee. I facilitate groups at McGee. But I work at ALC as a brain injury specialist, where I screen for a history of traumatic brain injury, and I facilitate groups doing neuroeducation and substance use groups. And I'm just here as a survivor of traumatic brain injury, multiple traumatic brain injury, and a person in long-term recovery who these resources and institutions helped me all along the way.
I'll say it again. I'm probably going to say it to the point you're going to say, this guy's slow, meaning me. There's help out there. You don't have to walk this road alone. You're looking at three of them now. and they're there for you if you want it. But as we had a conversation off air, my military experience, I had some folks, and they wanted it for the first couple of days, and then the beast came back. They're going to tell you how to beat the beast. So where do you guys want to start? I'll defer to Dr. John. Because he's a good dude, and two, he's very smart.
Well, thanks, Bill. I don't know. I think there'd probably be some people that would argue that, but
you should hear what they say about me.
I usually defer to Kate. Kate's like our mom. Kate's okay. Our mama bear. She takes care of everything. She's the one with the heart and the soul of the company. And really kind of keeps all of us going. Kate, what do you think?
Thanks, John. I do appreciate that, though, right? The, you know, what it comes down to get anyone started is a little bit of willingness, you know? I know, and I can only speak from my own personal experience that, you know, regardless of when the realization came that help was something I absolutely needed, there was also an element of fear. You know, everything is based on the other side of fear, you know, fear of stigma and of appearing weak and of what, you know, that certain things were going to do to my life. And I know that's a very common thread amongst people who wind up entering treatment. But with a little bit of willingness and a little bit of knowledge, honestly, people who are going into recovery are genuinely unstoppable. You know, this is certainly not for the weak. And typically by the time someone has made the decision to get help, what they don't realize is they've already been through the worst, and literally it only gets better from there. You know, willingness is a tricky thing. And, you know, I know you, Bill, you know, you referenced, you know, you and a, you know, in a group of friends that got someone some help. So willingness comes in a lot of different ways. You know, there are ways to push someone to willingness as well. I'm not a fan of recovery statistics, but for anyone who's struggling with a family member or a loved one and is genuinely fearful of their life, there are, you know, there is a way to section somebody to have someone committed to treatment, and statistically forced treatment and willing treatment have the exact same outcome. I know it sounds kind of like that wouldn't be the case, but it honestly is. You know, getting over the hump of the early stages of withdrawal and the early stages of recovery is paramount to anybody. So I always recommend a medical detox of some sort, you know, especially for alcohol and benzodiazepines. And now with all of the poison that's out in the world, you know, withdrawal from alcohol and benzos is 100% fatal if not done correctly and if not done under medical advisement. And that's really important for people to know. With the amount of synthetic opiates and the amount of manufactured substances that we are finding in every substance right now, medical detox, if someone can get a bed there, if someone meets the qualifications, is always the safest option. And depending on the substance, a direct referral to or a direct admission to to a CSS, which stands for Clinical Stabilization Services, is also sometimes appropriate. And that is an inpatient program, you know, medically monitored and with, you know, with intense clinical oversight as well, where people can kind of take themselves out of the game, you know, and give themselves with a typical detox 5 to 7 days into a CSS, which is anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. You know, we're talking that acute stage of the extreme discomfort and just for people to kind of come back to the ability to make choices with some semblance of clarity and to be able to, you know, get over the real thick fear that keeps a lot of people out of treatment for a while. You know, and then after that, there's all kinds of options. But the very first thing I always recommend is definitely some type of help, you know, whether it's a medical detox or a CSS or, you know, someone who is struggling and has not reached physical dependence yet to get some real structure in their lives, you know, some type of an IOP, you know, some type of group, some type of something where people are surrounded by people who know what they're going through, who have been there before, who know the way out, and who are willing to show them the way. I am a firm believer none of us can do this alone. Because if we could, none of us would be here. You know, we wouldn't be needed. It wouldn't be necessary. And we all would have figured this out years ago on our own.
I have to applaud what you just said, because without getting into too many specifics, I had a professional person jump all over me with both feet and a baseball bat because I said, and Mark and I both have worked in correctional facilities, that sometimes going to a jail that has a detox unit like Berkshire County gets the person through the detox stage where they can start to think clearly. Well, this person went ballistic. How could you ever put a person, a patient, in a jail? This, and my response was very, by now you realize I'm not all there. My response was to save their life. And yeah. That the person just walked away shaking their head. But to the people out there, Mark, any one of you, pick this up. I'll start with Mark. Did I do anything wrong?
Well, I can tell you.
I do so much wrong. You'd be the 12 programs we'd be going through the list. But on that, what I just said.
No, I mean, that's huge. And, you know, from my personal experience, I have been sectioned 5 times from my family. I have been through everything that I had to do. I've taken all sorts of routes through the resources and detoxifications of alcoholism. And, you know, what we realize now, or what I realized back then, is I was hijacked by what I was putting into my body. I wasn't me. My thinking wasn't me. So yeah. To have caring family members or just caring people that you, even though you are not agreeing with it at the time, possibly in the long run, you know, me on the other side, I mean, this is a lifelong process, but in the place where I'm at now, those past people who had enough weatherall and care to do the things, because it's not easy to go to the court system and section someone and to have to face your loved one as they're, you know, they're going to be angry and pushing back. But those things saved my life and put me on the right path. And like I said before, you're hijacked by the substances. You're not you, and you're not making good decisions. So anything to really stop the bleeding. And, you know, we know 28 days, 30 days of detox is what we really are pushing for, because we know that's when the brain starts to settle back into its neurotransmitter balances and all that. So, I mean, without the help from other people who could look in and make better decisions than I could at the time, then who knows where I'd be right now. So it's all hard throughout the process, but the hard things is what ends up working.
And I have to say this, even though it's almost a, you don't want to say it anymore because it's been so abused, but what they're relaying to us is hard proven science. I mean, they've been through it, and we know what works, I guess. Is that the easiest way? I think I want people out there, especially today, if you're waking up with, like I used to, with a squash for a brain and saying, boy, I'll never do that again until the next time. If you're out there and you need help, we're going to give you numbers. We're going to give you different ways to get to the help. And you know the old saying, the longest journey starts with the first step.
Absolutely.
And the first step could be, this is New Year's Day 2025. You make the pledge. You make the walk. They're all going to tell you, it's not an easy walk, but once you make it, it's worthwhile. So what you guys are the experts. What would be the first step? I'm sitting at home. I'm listening to the radio. I'm watching this fat bald guy on television, and he's telling me there's help out there. What should they do?
Reach out, first and foremost. Reach out to any one of the centers that are around the CSS, like Kate had said. Reach out to us. You know, we'll help direct you, get you in the right place. I think some of the hardest stuff that happens isn't asking for help. It's what happens afterwards when you get really kind of into the process.
Okay.
We see a lot of our guys. What will happen is they'll come in, they'll receive the services, they'll be making great headway, amazing headway.
Yeah.
And then they get to go back out, right? And they get to go home and hang out. And that's when the work really starts for most of us. Sitting there by ourselves, thinking about the past, which is really the hardest thing to do for most of us, because that's what we've been trying to drive down and not think about is the past and what's happened to us and what we've done,
right.
You know, or what's been going on out there. And that's that moment right there is when people relapse. Mm-hmm. That is almost the exact moment that you can look back on and say, okay, well, I couldn't handle that. I wasn't strong enough to handle those memories, those thoughts about myself and about what happened. So then you go pick up. You know, it's giving them the tools so that when they have that time and space alone after their treatment, that they can then mediate that and help themselves and reach out and have the support system. And, you know, all of this is things that we build in as we're moving along in their care. You know, we try to build in all these support systems so then when they get out there, they can have that help that they need in that moment.
And isn't that it must be rewarding or confirming, I guess, probably a better word for the folks going through this to know that help is there. And if they start to get rocky, that they can make a call or make a visit or just go back to the center and just say, I'm really weary. I'm starting to rattle a little bit. And thank you for bringing that out, Dr. John. That is so important because it's not a miracle worker. It's a work in progress. Is that a better way? I mean, that's how I view it.
Oh, we're always a work in progress, right, Bill? Especially with something like this.
Yeah.
This is a lifelong task, especially if you're born into it. You know, you have a genetic predisposition, and then you fall into something like where Mark, you know, specializes with brain injury, which is, I think we're up to about 98% of our clients have brain injuries on top of the substance abuse and alcoholism.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that just kind of comes hand in hand with that type of lifestyle. So, you know, our clients, they have multiple issues. It isn't just a substance abuse issue that they just, you know, people think, oh, just put it down or just stop. That's not the way this works. We're dealing with individuals with multiple layers of issues that are very significant to their life and impact on their life.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that out, because I think too often the downlookers, or that's what I call them, they're, you know, I'm high and mighty, but you're really not. You have faults. None of us are perfect. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. She's on volume 53 of my imperfections. So, but seriously, the brain injury part is another piece that I want to get out to the audience today. You may not even know you have a brain injury. It might have been from a whack in the head. I worked with violent youthful offenders. Looking back on many of their cases, they had traumatic brain injury. And most of the time, it was from abuse as a child, as a toddler.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to open the door to anybody who wants to walk through it today or this week.
You know, and what?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, what's good to know is often, like John was saying, you know, most of the time the rule is not the exception. It's actually the rule is that we're masking something, or the drugs and alcohol are just a symptom of what's an underlying issue. And those people that are out there are like me when I was out there with all the brain injury. It's that first step to get the actual help from professionals. Because when you're out there and you're using and you're self-medicating, you get into that cycle where, okay, maybe I can tone it back with my use and just kind of manage it, because the symptoms that you've got or the trauma you have in your past that you're self-medicating or masking, you're trying to do on your own. And at some point, it just becomes unmanageable, and you have to actually get to these professionals and start with the detoxes so that you can sort out your life and start untangling the knots and see where this all started and what the real underlying issues are, address those. And then the self-medication and the abuse of substances, you can look at in a different light as well.
And I, again, I want to go back and just say, if you're if you woke up and you partied too hardy last night or whatever, you got to get to detox. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're the experts, but it's been in the criminal justice world, trying to deal with an addict on a one day basis. Oh, I'm going to give it up for the day. That brain isn't still. It's only a matter of hours when it starts thinking for about the next fix or the next drink or whatever. So if you are thinking about it, we're going to give you information how to get help. How to get help in parents and wives and spouses and whatever, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it takes you intervening, saying, hey, listen, you just can't keep up this, whatever technique you want. But Kate, perhaps you can give some numbers for people to call. And listen, it's your life. You know, I hear people all the time saying, oh, I got diagnosed with this, I got diagnosed with that. Are you going to go to Bay State or Mass General or somewhere? Oh, that's a long ride. When it's your life, it's not that long a ride. Mm-hmm. So it's the same with this. It's your life. Your life.
Absolutely. Kate. You know, and I think, especially with what you're doing here, you know, we talk about the fear and the stigma and, you know, you call them naysayers, right? I know for so many of, you know, the people in recovery and treatment, you know, the people in my circle and just in my personal experience alone, that for all of the barriers we're going to face, and you're absolutely going to face them. You know, I'm not going to lie. We're not going to sugarcoat it. Like, you know, that when certain things come out and when, you know, your story's out there to bear, you're going to have people in, you know, face institutional stigma with employment, with housing, with all kinds of things. But what we're doing and what, you know, you've become a really big part of just in having us here and in doing this is to educate and inform all of the things that we are afraid of, you know, the whether it's going to be embarrassing our family or affecting our work or, you know, dealing with our children, any of these things that we're afraid of and keeps us from getting help. Without the help, I can 100% guarantee you it's going to happen anyway, you know. So I, you know, you speak of your, you know, your professional experience with, you know, people getting help in within the judicial system. You know, I mean, I have experience with Hamden County in not a professional manner, you know, and that is in fact where my recovery started. We're all very educated people here. You know, I hold 3 master's credentials and I couldn't outthink my own addiction. You know, that is what happens. You know, we cannot outsmart something that has completely hijacked all the, you know, the entire critical thinking and all of our abilities to make any singular choice. And that is what has happened. You're not weak. You know, it's not about willpower. It's not about anything, but being in a place where your disease is actually calling the shots now, you know. People go through chemotherapy and then their tumor comes back. There's no shame in that. It is the exact same thing. And there are people who are never going to agree with that. And that's all right, because they're not the ones that have to live the life of the person who's trying to get help. So that's okay. And all we can do is continue doing what we're doing. So, you know, you asked about some numbers. I will absolutely, like John said, as far as our facility goes, we absolutely take walk-ins all the time. If you just want to reach out to us, and if we're not the appropriate place for you to be, we can certainly help guide people in the right direction. You know, you can call our main number at 499-6300, and that will get you to all the departments. You can certainly reach out on our website, which is at alccorp.org. That's alccorp.org, to do an application for our structured housing and clinical services, or just to, you know, there's one of the options is just to give a little blurb, like leave a little message. So if that's the first thing people remember, we'll certainly help get you in the same place or in the correct direction. And as far as medical detox, our local detox at McGee, the intake number there is 413-445-9395. And that would be, you know, the first number to call if you think you need a medical detox or, yep. you know, if you are trying to get help, and they will take you through the intake process and screen any individual. And if they qualify for detox, certainly let people know if, you know, what the process is and take them through the admissions process. If there is not a bed available, I always like to give the number for AdCare in Worcester because it's easy to remember. It's 1-800-ALCOHOL and they will come pick you up. Wow. So wherever you are, if they have a bed at AdCare in Worcester, they do transport. So 1-800-ALCOHOL is always a great number to call. And I'm looking for the new CSS number because I always forget it. To call Clinical Stabilization Services in Pittsfield directly is 413-447-2927. And that CSS and McGee Detox are both units within Berkshire Medical Center. So people can always call the main number and just ask to get connected as well.
And we will be running those numbers again before the, we're going to take a break here in a few minutes, but don't worry. We're going to give you the numbers again, because if you're serious, we're serious. That's why we're doing this New Year's Day, because we as a team thought this would be the day. You know, we're talking maybe do it New Year's Eve. Well, no, because New Year's Eve would be everybody still apart, right? Except me. I was in bed at 8 o'clock, so there you go. Please, please, this is from us, for you, for you. This could be really the first day of the rest of your life. It really could be. But you got to buy into it. You know, I've worked in the criminal justice field for over 50 years. And I've seen a lot of people drug dependent, alcohol dependent, multiple dependencies, and these folks have worked with them. You can have a good life where you're not worrying about your next drink, your next fix, whatever. We'll be we'll be right back. Please, please. Yes, it's not a ha 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 show, but it's hopefully it's a life-saving show. And that's, you know, many years ago when I started in radio, I said this. I want to be educational, informative, and a few laughs along the way. Break your addictions and add some laughs along the way. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I'm here today with a wonderful group of people, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. We'll start with the lady because I'm a big one for chivalry, but they've taken my sword away. So there you go. Kate, we'll start with you.
It's a while since someone called me a lady. That was refreshing.
Well,
My name is Kate Frizzell. I hold a master's in education with a discipline in special education and an advanced KDAC and an advanced LADAC, certified and licensed alcohol and drug counselors. I am the clinical director of the Alternative Living Center Substance Use Treatment Facility in North Adams and Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Thank you. And Dr. John.
Hi, Bill. My name is John Schnauber. I have a doctorate in social work from University of Southern California. I also have a master's in social work. I'm licensed as a social worker in the state of Mass. I'm the clinical supervisor for ALC throughout the whole company at both campuses. And I just try to help to provide a good clinical programming for those that come in to receive care from us.
And as I said in the first half, good looks run in the family. The guy you see there is my second cousin, Mark McNeese. My mother was Madeline McNeese Sturgeon. And Mark, tell us about you.
Yeah, I'm a certified brain injury specialist at ALC. I also do group facilitation at the McGee Detox Unit at BMC. I screen people at ALC for a history of traumatic brain injury so we can get a more complete picture of what the underlying issues are as they come into treatment for addictions. And we find oftentimes, like John was saying, about 98% of the screenings we've done so far have shown a significant amount of traumatic brain injury history, which changes your thinking, the way your brain functions, the brain structure, and, you know, really, it's at times no wonder why people are self-medicating when they don't realize what is going on within them. Yeah. And like you said, a lot of times it's youth accidents or things from the youth, and we don't see the spiral of cognitive load until they're in adulthood. So we see people start realizing they have these challenges from injuries that happened in their childhood. So we're trying to give the most complete picture we can.
And I will just throw in my two cents. As a person who worked the Violent Youthful Offender Program, so many of them tested positive or demonstrated, I should say, brain injury. And some of it went back to toddlers, when they were toddlers. So it's not unique. And sometimes it's not even intentional. The shaken baby, you know, syndrome. There's all kinds of things. But today we're saying it's New Year's Day. If you've overdone it and it, you know, once in every year you overdo it. But if you're overdoing it a lot or frequently, you need to pay attention to this program because you could have an issue. You really could have an issue. You know, I won't get into a lot of specifics, but I worked with a guy who had an issue. And the issue came to light on the job. And he went up to a Brattleboro retreat to detox. He never knew he had an issue. When he came back, he said that. He said, you know, thank you for sending me there because I never thought I had an issue. My father used to drink. Dr. John brought it out, too. There's genetically disposed. And after he came back from Brattleboro retreat and people told him different incident, he never ever drank again. Was it easy? He used to tell me, boy, could I go for a drink today? But I can't have one. So, and that's, I want you to remember, if you make that commitment, you can't have one. You just can't. So, Mark, there's some other areas outside. We want to drop in centers and things like that. We want to get that word out before I forget.
Yeah, I believe, Kate, do you know, you have more of the information on that?
Yep. So in locally in the surrounding counties for drop-in recovery centers, which are absolutely phenomenal, we have in North Adams the Have Hope Recovery Center that is run by the Brain Center that is at 37 Main Street in North Adams in Suite 201. In South County, we have Rural Recovery with Gary Pratt, that's at 67 State Road in Great Barrington. In Pittsfield, we have the Crane Center, which is kind of like the hub of all things local recovery, which is at 81 Linden Street. And they run a ton of meetings there. There's AA, there's NA, there's Dharma Recovery. There's a community liaison that is there five days a week. She's absolutely fantastic. That is just, you just drop in anytime and they will help you with literally anything. I know she's there from 10 to 2 every single day, weekday, Monday through Friday. And we also have Living in Recovery, which is a drop-in recovery center. They do have set hours. They do have a website, but their address right now is at 75 McKay Street. And they are incredibly involved in the community and all things recovery, you know, a ton of events and community outreach. You know, all of these places are fantastic for someone who, you know, is either, you know, in it, right, in recovery and looking for a way to expand their network or get more support. You know, if you're struggling and you can't get to, you can't get to a meeting or you just don't know what to do, or for people who are still actively using and just not quite ready yet or don't know what to do, these places, their doors are always open and there's always someone there to sit, to listen, to talk, to suggest, and really just to love you and to listen.
And you know, for those people who don't understand addiction, maybe you should educate yourselves. And I don't mean the addicts themselves. I mean people who would like to judge other people. And it's me saying, the Irish mother used to say, "Here but for the grace of God go I." And maybe we should think a little bit more about that and be charitable. I know it's a weird word, but it has a meaning. And Kate and Mark and Dr. John all said the same. People will be judge you, but you can't let that affect you. You got to take care of you. Listen, I do a radio show. You can't believe the nice emails I get from people. Yes. Yes. That wishing me the very best.
And, you know, to piggyback on Johnny, it brought up the, you know, the fact of genetics. And we know the numbers are around 50 to 80% of the people in recovery are genetically inclined. And what that means is, you know, when people say, genetics, and that's poo-pooing on that, well, yeah, that doesn't necessarily make you that addict or alcoholic right from birth. It's not until you run into issues or throughout your life, your function just is not the same. And that's from genetically different levels of neurotransmitters in your brain. And that first time you pick up that alcohol or the drug, and it all of a sudden replaces those deficiencies that you had from genetics. Now that's when you ignite that genetic disposition. So people, yeah. You know, you're predetermined to be addicted to these things. You put it into your system, and all of a sudden you have kind of an aha moment, like, ah, I'm finally feeling good for the first time. And people don't understand what that is. And then once you're grabbed by that alcohol or the drug or the addiction, now you're in that cycle. So they're addicted before they even know it, if they don't understand the genetic piece.
And I want to defer. That is excellent, Mark. Thank you for that. And it is real. It's science, folks. I mean, we've heard a lot of malarkey science over the past few years. This is real science. Dr. John just brought out something I think we all should know about heroin. John, you want to share that with us?
Sure. Well, harm reduction in Berkshire County, and I think all over the state, they go out and they'll actually they'll get some of the drugs that are in the streets. They'll actually go out and retrieve some of the drugs, and they test them for what's in them. And what we're finding today is that there actually isn't a whole lot of heroin out there at all. In fact, they're not finding a lot of heroin anywhere. The majority of what people are taking in the streets now is fentanyl, along with a little bit of side products, you know, maybe some aspirin or, you know, whatever they have there. I don't know. There's all kinds of things they throw into it. But for the majority of it, it's all fentanyl that we're seeing on the streets now. People are not out there doing heroin anymore. They're out there doing fentanyl.
Wow. Mm. And that can kill you.
Well, yeah.
That can kill you, like, really right away. So if we're doing this program on New Year's Day for a reason. Because as a team, we thought New Year's Eve or the leading up to it, people aren't. But New Year's Day, they're turning on the radio, they're turning on the television, and they may have partied too much last night. So if you're partying too much, a lot or a little too much, you should pay attention to this program and seek out at least check in with these folks and see what they think. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm fine. I only drink like 4 days a week. And that may be fine. I don't know. I don't know you. All I'm saying is they do know the signs and symptoms. That's, I guess, the best way to put it. If you go and you sit down with well-certified, educated people in this in addiction, they can tell you if you have an issue. And if you do, they open doors for you. You know, the longest journey, as I said earlier, starts with the first step. And if you think you need to take that first step, then take it. Don't put it off. Take it. And we'll give you phone numbers and everything. But be aware of really who you are. And Mark and John and Kate, they all understand. What's really come to the forefront is the relationship between addiction and brain injury. And believe me when I tell you, as being in the criminal justice field, especially with the violent youthful offenders, it was very, in my opinion, prevalent. And the number, because as Mark said, when that brain's not working like it should because of some whatever, you get yourself jammed up. I'll start with Kate, if you don't mind. Kate, what is the most challenging patient that you've had, client, in your career?
It's the client that doesn't think they need anything to change in their life, right? The client that, and I say that because that was me, you know, that was me for a very long time. You know, the client that thinks that they can just like go for a spin dry and stop using and can be a weekend warrior again, or can just have one, you know, the client that thinks that absolutely nothing in their life has to change, that putting the substance down fixes the problem. I promise you, the substance is never the problem. Substance is never the problem. We are always treating something with the substance. It is just a symptom.
How about you, Mark?
The most difficult is the one you lose, really, for me. You know, the one that the people who don't eventually get it, because we know everyone has the potential, but there's so many factors out there. Everyone has such, you know, a difficult road to make it. And that's what's the beauty of these people who end up making it. The survivors are kind of people that have been to hell and back. They build a unique set of character traits that, you know, the normal person who doesn't have to go through exactly the same kind of hardship and life-threatening day-to-day chase of this substance, they make it through to the other side, and they're people who have a strong story that can help other people and serve as great members of the community, like very valuable members of the community. So, the hardest case is when someone nearly has it and then they get hijacked again. You know, circumstances change and they fall back into it. And it's so easy to do. And the drug and alcohol is so powerful to the brain that, you know, there's really, it's a hard road to get over. So, yeah, that would be the person I would say is most difficult for me.
Dr. John?
I'll go with Kate. The hardest client I've ever had is myself. Okay. It took me 30 years to break my alcoholism. But, you know, it was a tough 30 years, and I never knew what was really going on. I was just hijacked the entire time. And it wasn't until, you know, I kind of figured out a couple of different things, and it helped me kind of walk the path in a much healthier way.
Yeah.
You know, the stigma, I keep hearing stigma, you know, regardless of what we're actually saying, I keep hearing stigma as an issue. And there's this trifecta that we found, or that we actually work on quite a bit at ALC. And that's not only the alcoholism and the substance abuse, but it's also the brain injury and the trauma that they've suffered.
Yeah.
Those three things put together will decimate anyone that we've seen, and we see it constantly. The trauma starts, which affects the brain, and with PTSD, we're learning now today that PTSD isn't as much of a mental health issue as we thought it was. In fact, it's more of a physical issue. It's a neurological issue. Trauma is, and it has much less to do with the mental health and how we think. It's about how our body reacts to that trauma. And then when you have the brain injury on top of that, that just adds to that, you know, increasing more and more brain issues. And then, as Kate said, the alcohol and the drugs, those are just ways that we're trying to help ourselves. We're trying to heal ourselves with those things, you know. And there's this thing in society where you have the worthy and the unworthy, right? And the worthy being the veteran, the worthy being the person who is, you know, the whoever, you know, that's gone out. And we see them in a positive light. Whereas the unworthy are the addicts and the homeless, and it's undeserving. You know, somebody who is an addict or is unhoused isn't always to blame for what's going on with them. It's the stigma that we put on them, right? Exactly. It's not letting them go in and get care and feel good about that care. It's about telling them how horrible they were. That's not how you heal somebody, right?
Yeah. That's that going back to my saintly Irish mother, here but for the grace of God go I. I get so upset with people because reintegration of youthful offenders back into a school system was one of my bugaboos, because they never forgot. You know, I used to tell people, you have to remember the criminal justice system never forgets, and it never forgives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong, but that's life. So you got to be prepared to overcome that. And you're right. I hate the word stigma, but it's very real. And it's, you ever, I mean, this is an awful question to ask you guys, but I'll ask myself. So, Bill, have you ever seen people who make fun of other people and have a worse thing? Yes, I have. You know, I mean, really and truly. Oh, I don't use drugs. I just drink myself to sleep every night. You know, dude, alcohol is a drug. No, it isn't. That's a lot of crap. But Kate, if you don't mind, could we give out the numbers again, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So for the Alternative Living Center specifically, if you'd like to reach out to us in any capacity, whether it's to do an application or just to touch base, right? Our main number is 413-499-6300. That will connect you to all departments. And our website is alccorp.com. That is alccorp.org. The number for the McGee Detox here in Pittsfield is 413-445-9395. The number for the CSS, the Clinical Stabilization Services Intake Line, is 413-447-2927. Both of those units are within Berkshire Health Systems at Berkshire Medical Center. And so you can always call the main number and just ask to get connected to the right department. The main number is 413-447-2000. And again, I always like to throw out the Worcester AdCare Detox because they do transport and the number is to remember. 1-800-ALCOHOL. If all else fails, you know, and you need to go out of county, always start there.
You know, when you get an opportunity for the old fat guy, tell them thank you for doing that service. That to me is, that's life-saving stuff. It really is. If they'll come here and get someone and bring them and start the detox situation, I mean, that to me is, whoa, really big stuff. For those folks out there, save your own lives. That's basically what it's going to be. The worst thing is, and I've experienced this as a cop, pulling somebody over who's so plastered that they're a miracle they didn't kill themselves or worse, somebody else. And then you got to live with that. So if you're drinking and driving, which I can't even comprehend, that today. But if you are, please stop. Please stop. Get help. If you need help, get help. And if you don't think you need help, talk to some of these people. They'll give you the straight skinny. And that's what's important. The next day is what's important. So, I, as we coming to the close, I'll give each one of you a chance to say whatever you want to say in closure. And I'll start with Mark, because he's a relative.
New Year's Day is a great time for this to air because, you know, you're not generally getting people the help they want while they're out there running. You're getting them when they're down, coming off, and they're depressed, and those neurotransmitters are all out of whack, and they're feeling bad about, you want to talk to them then. That's when their ears might be open. So if you see someone, a lot of times we don't see it as the addicted person. We don't see it ourselves. So if you're someone out there and you're witnessing it, it's okay to bring it up to that person, regardless of their reaction, because maybe it opens their eyes. And you got to look to them things like, are you drinking in the morning? How much are you drinking? Are people starting to tell you things are an issue? You know, start looking at signs and then go out and get the help, because it is very hard to do on your own. It's someone who's tried to do it multiple times on his own, and it's just failure after failure. Go in and get yourself to a detox. Walk into the rooms of AA, NA, some of these self-help groups. They're out there. Find it and go get it, because now it's time to treat yourself and get your own mental facilities back and not be hijacked or be a person of substance, but be a person of character in your own decision-making. That's it.
Very proud of you, Mark.
Thanks.
Kate.
I would just say to the individual who is struggling and the one who's hesitant and the one who's afraid to ask for help for whatever reason, that I promise you it gets better, right? You have suffered enough. You're not weak. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not beyond help. You're not beyond, you know, you're not beyond all the good things that can still happen. And it's absolutely never too late. You are not alone. We see you. We hear you. And you have suffered enough. So I promise you it will get better. You just have to take the first step.
Thank you, Kay. You are a beautiful, committed, wonderful person. And I'm glad I now know you.
Thanks.
Dr. John.
Bill, you know, reach out for help. Anybody that needs it. It's not easy to reach out, especially taking those first steps. But, you know, if you can take it, it's only one step, and then just take the next one after that and the one next one after that, but just keep going. Don't stop and don't think that you're a loser or you've ruined your life or that, you know, nothing can get better, because it will get better. Believe me, you can still achieve. You can still meet your goals. You can still raise your children. You can still have a happy life, you know, and you can make others around you happy. Don't give that up for some drug or drink. Life is good when you get past all that. Give yourself a chance.
And I will say in closing, make today, if you have an issue, make today the first day of the rest of your life for all of us. For all of us. Let's not be so judgmental. No one's perfect. No one. One more time. No one's perfect. Be a helper, an encourager. Don't be a down Debbie Downer. As I always say to my closing, and this, you should see some of the emails I get for this. God bless. And today, help someone lift their burden. You know, we're in this all together. Let's start helping each other rather than putting each other down. It's kind of a tough world out there today, but we're tougher. Thank you all. God bless you all for all the work you do. Have a wonderful 2025. I'll be just getting old enough to drink this year. For the 14th or 15th time. God bless. And please, go get help. That's all we're doing this. Thank you for everything all of you do for all of us. Be well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.